Hey folks, special guest this week coming up in just a second. But before we get to him, my YouTube channel is going strong, youtube.com/PaulMercurio. I've been posting a lot of videos about everything that's going on, all the craziness with politics and COVID and, you know, trying to make some fun out of it and get some fun out of it. So check it out and please subscribe and tell your friends about it, youtube.com/PaulMercurio. My guest this week is Trump's former lawyer and fixer, Michael Cohen. Really fascinating conversation with him. So enjoy that and stay safe, everybody, and definitely vote. My guest this week, Michael Cohen, attorney and businessman, acted as special counsel to President Trump and as executive vice president for the Trump Organization and also Donald Trump's personal attorney. His podcast, a terrific podcast, Michael Cohen's Mea Culpa, And he hosts that, and his book, New York Times bestselling book, of course, Disloyal. Great to have you on the show, Michael.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I want to jump right in sort of and discuss COVID for a minute and Trump. And you said something the other day in an interview that I saw, which I thought was really interesting. You said Donald Trump went in to the hospital and will come out of the hospital with the identical understanding, which is predicated on ignorance and arrogance. Obviously, he did. But the thing that struck me was the word ignorance, because for all of his faults, he doesn't seem like a dumb person, right? Like he seems to strategically do things for a reason. Is it ignorance or is it just arrogance with him?
No, it's a combination of both, because you really can't have one without the other, right? Arrogance is a form of ignorance. You see 210,000 people dying. You see it on every single television station, and that's where he gets his news from. Right in the bottom corner, we have a death count. Nice. And the man doesn't believe in science. He doesn't believe in the environment. He doesn't believe in climate control. He doesn't believe in science at all. That, to me, is not just ignorance. It's arrogance.
And he, I think you quoted him as saying to somebody, I don't want to see you wearing a mask in my presence. What is it about the mask for him? Is it a sign of, I know weakness is a big deal with him and she needs to show power and strength. Is it a visual reminder of his failures with COVID? And what is there, this obsession about the mask with him?
Well, I think it's much more deep-rooted than that. I mean, things that Judge Barry had told me in the past and other people who, and family members said, Donald is actually a very weak individual. He tries to project strength, but he's not. I mean, this is not a guy who's ever had, I think they said that he had one fight in his entire life and he got put on his back. So, this is a way for him to project strength. I'm not concerned about the mask, right? The mask can't help you. The only person that can help you is me. And the way that we're going to beat it is we're going to ignore it and it's going to go away. Well, it's not going away. And it's taken, again, too many individuals, not just in this country, but around the world, it's taken their lives from them. And he just doesn't care. Let me tell you what he does care about. He cares about the economy because that's the only thing that he had on his platform that he was able to tout. Oh, we have the greatest economy. We have the best, blacks had the highest rate of unemployment ever, in U.S. history. They had the highest per capita income. The same with Hispanics, blah, blah, blah. All about the economy. What people don't understand, and it's sad, is that Donald Trump doesn't create the economy. Our economy right now is really predicated on what, 6-8 different companies that pretty much make up
right.
The entire stock market success or not. The economy is mostly predicated upon real estate values, and real estate values are plummeting because of interest rates and so on. So the notion that the economy is so great that it's beneficial to all Americans, it's not true. Most Americans are not better off today than they were 4 years ago. But, I know this is a long-winded response to, the fact that he's a weak person. And what does a weak person do, right? Especially when you're an actor, right? You try to project strength. And the fact that they told him that you should wear a mask, that's enough for Donald Trump to say, you're not going to tell me what to do. I'm the president. I'm the dictator. I tell you what to do.
Right.
I don't want you wearing a mask.
Well, I'll tell you that this policy of his, or this ignorance, has affected me personally. I got COVID and my son has COVID, and I got it because I was performing in Palm Beach in June, where everybody was refusing to wear a mask. And I had people come up to me and say, don't wear a mask. It's a hoax because, you know, DeSantis is, you know, in Trump's pocket and probably wants a job in his administration in the next go around. And they've convinced everybody, or a lot of people down there, you don't need a mask. And I am suffering 3 months later from it still. I'm exhausted all the time. I have joint pain. And I went apoplectic the other day when Trump had the nerve to say, it's not a big deal. Get on with your life. And just when you think it can't get any more absurd and insensitive, it does. And, you know, you said he thinks he's going to bully the virus, and you talked about this bully thing. And Mary Trump, his niece, blames a lot of Donald on Donald's father, who was a big Norman Vincent Peale believer about positive thinking, and you never show weakness, and you always stay positive no matter how bad things are. Do you agree with that? I mean, you've been close to him for years. I mean, I know you're not a psychologist. I'm not going to ask you to do that, but is that your sense of it? Is that where this sort of need to, this obvious feeling of weakness, does it come from that, from a father who wouldn't allow you to really be emotional in a real way?
So, again, you're right. I'm not a psychologist. I actually didn't even do well in psychology in college.
I didn't either.
but what I will tell you is, and I never met Fred. I mean, I started working for Trump in 2007, full-time, 2006. You know, prior, the year prior or so, doing some other things while I was at a white glove law firm. Mm. What I will tell you is the whole notion that Trump is a follower of Vincent Norman Peale is another lie. It was a populist view that he was able to use when engaging with the evangelicals that I brought to the table, mm-hmm. you know, for him. Here's the truth. The man has been once to church. And that was at his confirmation. And we showed that picture. Somehow he managed to find it. We showed that all over as if this was some great revelation in his life, going, you know, on weekends to church and listening to, you know, to Norman Peale speaking. It's a lie, just like everything else that he said. The man doesn't have a religious bone in his body. Mm. He doesn't think much of the evangelical. He doesn't think much of anyone other than himself. I will also say to you, the thing that bothered me most the other day was really not so much the fact that he's ignorant to the need to wear a mask or his arrogance in not wearing it. What bothered me the most, this is where the book Disloyal and Mea Culpa come in. I tried to give you an understanding of what he's doing, why he's doing it through the book and the podcast. I want you to think for a second of the scene of Donald Trump leaving the hospital of Walter Reed, getting into the vehicles, these armored vehicles where the doors are sealed because they weigh like 600 pounds each.
Right.
And basically doing a victory lap, right? Around a two-block victory lap. Now, think about it this way. The traffic congestion that he causes, he doesn't care. The number of police that have to be utilized, taking them away from real crime and real police work, putting the Secret Service and other individuals in harm's way, right, by putting them out there and shutting down the streets and so on. He did it because as the king, his royal subjects were lining the street, all with cheers, Donald, get better, we love you, Donald, and he had to go out and greet his royal subjects, despite the fact that there's an expense to the taxpayer on this, that he just doesn't care.
Right.
Right. This is like a Kim Jong-un act. I'm shocked that he didn't call up and have armored tanks and airplanes put on to hoist and run down the street so that he can have a procession for himself in honor of the fact that he's taken a cocktail that you and I can't get no matter what. Right.
Right.
And that he's feeling better. Now, here's something that I would like for you to tell, right? When you got COVID, and this happened to, unfortunately, my father-in-law, there's a calm before the storm, right? You start feeling the achy, you get the headaches, you have a low-grade fever, you take your Tylenol, your Advil, whatever, you reduce the fever, but then when it comes back with a vengeance and it spikes. That's why the doctors are saying that he's not out of the woods yet. So I want you to say, is that the way that you experienced your COVID scenario with?
Yes. I mean, I had very minor symptoms, but I had a little bit of cough when I got back to New York from Florida. I went, got tested. I had it. I was okay. And all of a sudden, five, 6 days later, shooting pains in different parts of my arms and my legs. Can barely stay awake. GI issues. And then I went, and then about 10 days ago, I was feeling pretty solid. And then the last 10 days, I'm feeling like crap again. And it's, it takes its toll. And you're right. You see that sort of Mussolini moment on the, you know, on the balcony at the White House and all of that. And it's all rooted to me in insecurity. And you say weakness, which is obviously, you know, which manifests itself in bullying. Is it because it seems like every other sibling, his sister, the rest of the people in the family, his siblings, seem fairly normal and like decent human beings. Why did he go this way? Like, what is going on with him that this monster got created? How did this monster get created?
Well, that I don't know. Obviously, he's much older than I am, and I didn't grow up. He certainly, if we did, he would not. I don't see us as being friends if we were of the same age, right. Because from my understanding and just look at it, look, if you ask me, I can rattle off about 20 names right off the top of my head on people who I've been friends with for greater than 40 years. Mm. He can't do that because he has no friends. Mm. And that's got to tell you a lot about the character of an individual. He doesn't have friends from his childhood. Nobody, you haven't heard one person step out and say, yeah, Donald and I were best friends at the age of 10, right? And if this is not right, or this is right, or what have you. You have Mary Trump telling stories based upon conversations that they had with the sisters and others. I mean, one of the stories that I heard was that when his older brother, Fred, was on his deathbed, he went to go see a movie. And yet he talked about Fred as if Fred was his best friend. Well, not according to Mary Trump, not according to other family members. And yes, the other family members are really good people. I mean, I've spent an enormous amount of time with Judge Barry, you know, his sister. She's a wonderful, wonderful person. She's bright. She's incredibly articulate, and she's accomplished becoming, you know, a federal judge and one of the most respected federal judges. The fact that her brother became president actually destroyed her career. And I'll tell you something, which I don't believe that I put into the book. When he decided to run and he made the statement about Mexicans, the very next day, the judge contacted me and she said to me, you need to stop this nonsense. You need to stop this race. My brother is an idiot, and he's going to destroy the entire family name. Now, that's what she said to me. And you know what? I should have listened to her because she's right.
Yeah.
She's 100% correct. The man is not just fundamentally flawed. He's fundamentally disloyal. He's ignorant. He refuses to read, which is a sign of ignorance. And worst of all, his ego, his arrogance is bigger than his gut.
Yeah. Listen, I know you got to wrap you up in a second. So then why do people follow him almost blindly? And frankly, and you were in that world at one point, I don't want to say blindly, but you know, you were working with him.
Please.
Okay.
Please, you got to call it. I followed him blindly. Okay. I did things that I knew were wrong, and yet I did it.
Why? Why did you not? You're a smart guy. You got a family. Why did you not say to yourself, did you feel like it was us against the world? Like you guys were, it was Trump and his in inner circle, and the world was out to get you guys. You were going to be like, what? Why don't you stop yourself in those moments?
You know, I was part of the cult. I was part of that whole Trump cult and the thinking And as many times as my wife and my children begged me to quit, I had opportunities to go work with other incredibly famous people. I turned it down. I couldn't leave him. It was like having an abusive parent, but you just can't leave them. Why? Yeah. I don't have the answer for that. I was not just in the cult. I was a big part of the cult. And there's 35, 38% of this country that's going through the same cult-like thinking that I did. And one of the things that I'm hoping to accomplish as I make amends for the things that I did improperly, my hope is that they read the book and that they understand the thinking of this man, that they listen to the podcast and they hear it from other people as well who have personal connections to him. You need to put Visine in your eyes. You need to clear your eyes, clear your head, and think straight. The man doesn't care about you no matter what he says. The man cares for no one or anything other than himself. And if he's willing to turn around and to throw me under the bus, someone who watched his back, his family's back for over a decade, think about what you mean to him. Right. And the answer is nothing, absolutely nothing.
Well, listen, I certainly appreciate your honesty and the turn you've made. I think you're doing important work getting this out there. The podcast is Mea Culpa. The book is Disloyal. Read the book, check out the podcast. And I really appreciate your honesty and especially your answer to that last question about following blindly, because it does, from an outsider looking in, it's very obvious who this guy is. And yet he's got this base of followers and inner circle who will walk off the end of the earth for him. And I just don't get it. And I guess there'll never be a true answer to it, but a cult is probably the best way to describe it. But it's great to have you on, and maybe we'll get you on again sometime to talk more when you have more time. But good luck with everything, and keep fighting the good fight there. We got to get this guy gone, you know? So thank you for everything.
Yeah, well, thank you. And thank you for having me. I will just say in sum, you know, it's part of my redemption process for myself, my journey in making amends really to my wife, my daughter, my son, and the country. But I will tell you that it comes at a tremendous, tremendous cost. I talk about it again in the book, a tremendous cost, both not just to me, but to my family as well. So I thank you for your understanding and having me on the show today.
Oh, absolutely. I would love to have you back. I can imagine your family has sort of been in the crosshairs, not literally of people, but sort of been not treated well because they're related to you. I would imagine it's been tough on them in that way. Am I right?
Right. And what do we have? The only thing I really have, you know, of value is my family. Mm. And I made a mistake and I put him, you know, in the same sphere as my family. And that was my first and probably my biggest mistake.
Right. Well, it's good that you admit it and you figured it out now, and you got a long life to live without him. So look at the upside. It's great to have you on. Everybody check out the podcast, Michael Cohen's Mea Culpa, book Disloyal, and let's get you back on again. Take care. Have a great day.
You as well. Be well.
All right. There you go. That's Michael Cohen. And I do appreciate, you know, that he's trying to make amends, and it's good that he's saying the things that he's saying so people understand what this Trump man is all about. Anyway, check out my YouTube channel, youtube.com/PaulMercurio. Thanks for checking out the show this week, and we'll see you next week.